direct conversation, some deep reactions, please. All this comics narration ain't late to me. A little more talk, a lot less read. A little fight, baby, is what I need. Close the trade, open up your brains. Explain it to me. Explain it to me, baby. Explain it to me.
Hello, thank you, Vandello. Welcome back to Rhett Conversations. My name is Josh Wasta, a.k.a. Fallout Fury. And with me, she's your hell, she's your dream, she's nothing in between. It's Miss Leia Cameron.
Hi, everyone. I'd also like to let everybody know that I don't swerve when I drive.
Nice. Like, only the AEW crowd of the podcast will get that. You also do not commit murder on a live pay-per-view.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't do that. No matter what people might tell you, it's not true.
I didn't pay for it, so I couldn't view it.
Yeah, there you go.
You might be lying, and I'll never know.
And also with us is Mr. Kyle Slack, someone who has joined us before. Kyle, how are we doing today?
Doing good. How about you both?
Can't complain. Got a good comic ahead of us. One that made us want to jump out a window, so...
I figured I'd be nice this time.
Yeah, well... Famously, you are on our episode that... Fate itself would not allow to live, which is our All-Star Superman episode.
I think AI went back in time to kill your computer, and... Yeah.
Yes. Right? Somehow that podcast led to the end of the world, and so the time variance authority...
I heard a T-001 and said the 1000 showed up, and...
That's right. It was a Tamagotchi. So today, we will be doing Hellboy Conqueror Worm. So it's weird, because Hellboy doesn't really, like, put out chapters or, like, what number of book they are. They just are like, here's the story. Because even when the comic comes out, it's like Hellboy Conqueror Worm 1-5, let's say. And then they collect it and they just put it out. So they don't say where in the continuity anything with Hellboy is.
They just assume you're such a fan, Josh, that you know it all.
Yeah, and I'm not, actually. I mean, I like it. But yeah, this is 4 issues. It was a monthly. It came out in 2001, so I guess you'll have to use actual real-life years to figure out. Oh, there we go, Wikipedia. It's the 5th Hellboy trade paperback. Thank you, Wikipedia, because no one at Dark Horse decides to do that work. So we're a little bit into the whole Hellboy thing. I, not being as familiar with Hellboy, I didn't have a lot of questions about this one. That basically the movie Hellboy could not answer for me. There's an organization, it's called the BPRD. They track and take care of paranormal phenomenon throughout the earth. There's a dude named Hellboy. He was a demon that was summoned by Nazis in the 50s, but was taken in by an American scientist and raised to be good. He has some sort of prophecy where he will destroy the earth. That doesn't really come into play except for one part in this, but that's all you need to know about Hellboy. Any other questions before Hellboy before we start?
No, I mean, I've seen the movies, you know, been kind of interested in what goes on in the comics, and this one kind of was one I saw that could be interesting, so that's why I picked it.
Heck yeah.
Sweet. It is written by Mike Mignola, who writes everything Hellboy. He has kind of made a career out of just kind of Hellboy. So he has a very, since this is obviously a podcast and not video, he has a very distinctive art style. And that's, if you have not read a Hellboy comic or have not seen a Hellboy comic, I would recommend that you at least pick one up just for the art alone. Because Mike Mignola wrote and drew, and then it was colored by Dave Stewart and lettered by Pat Brosio. But he's very much, you know, Mike Mignola is very much the Hellboy guy.
Got.
So as we start in Hellboy Conqueror Worm, we open kind of on a view of a snowy sky and mountains and words in just basically a bubble that's part of Edgar Allan Poe's poem, The Conqueror Worm, which is a poem within a short story. The short story is called Ligeia. And lo, 'tis a gala night within the lonesome latter years, an angel throng bewinged besight, in veils and drowned in tears, sit in a theater to see a play of hopes and fears, while the orchestra breathes fitfully the music of the spheres. That motley drama, oh, be sure, it shall not be forgot. We go through, and it's revealed that we are looking at a Nazi stronghold. We assume this is in the 50s, 40s or 50s, 40s, 40s and 50s. And there is a man who has never appeared before in Hellboy comics, who has a cowl and then goggles over his eyes. And the goggles are always painted like this orange to give the idea that it's kind of glowing. And he is wrecking some Nazis. He's like throwing Nazis off of buildings, through windows. And then we go down into the stronghold and there are Nazis there that are basically setting up an experiment to shoot a rocket into space.
As they do.
Yes. The shadowed figure appears within, starts shooting and taking out these Nazis by announcing himself with, "Here is the claw!" And the castle explodes. We see a sign that says 61 years later and 12 miles away from the castle. There's a BPRD field headquarters where BPRD director Tom Manning is briefing Hellboy and someone named Roger about what happened there in 1939. The German physicist Ernst Emig's body has been moved to the castle after he was assassinated. He was Germany's version of Einstein and close to giving Hitler the bomb. They get the rest of the briefing that BPRD went in and the castle exploded.
So in 39 it exploded, or it exploded again?
So the man was assassinated in 39. His car was blown up. Hitler, the Gestapo moved his body to this castle. And then, yes, 39 of that year, March 20th of that year, of 1939, they went in and blew up the castle, supposedly killing this dude a second time, cremating him and keeping them from doing whatever they were planning on doing. Yes. Hellboy is like, "Oh yeah, I remember reading about that. That was the last mission of Lobster Johnson." Lobster Johnson.
That's a great name. Oh,
awesome. You're gonna enjoy every moment with Lobster Johnson.
It's true. Funny story, I have for years, Jen, my wife, has had a Lobster Johnson action figure just like floating around, and it says Hellboy on it, and I'm like, I've never read it or seen anything that has Lobster Johnson. And then I read this, and it's great times. So Lobster Johnson is not only a supposed BPRD former agent, but he is a pulp hero. So he has comic books in the modern day that were made after his legend, because the director of BPRD insists that is the position of the United States government that Lobster Johnson never existed.
Sorry, I'm just imagining, like, you know, Captain America waking up out of the ice and showing up, and they've got comic books about him, and you know, that's my vibe that I'm thinking of off the top of my head suddenly. So.
Yeah, it's not dissimilar, to be honest.
I was about to say, resident Captain America expert, did that happen?
Basically.
Because I'm just thinking of how Coulson has the trading cards. Cap shows up. So yeah, I mean, kind of the same thing.
Yeah, very similar.
So the mission that we come to find out, the reason the BPRD is here, is that the rocket did launch, and a piece of it is re-entering the Earth's atmosphere, and this wouldn't be a huge thing, like, you know, space junk to fall down, except it keeps changing course, and if it keeps changing course the way it has been, it will land on top of Hunt Castle, on top of the castle that was exploded.
Okay.
Manning is sending in Hellboy and Roger because they are the most indestructible. He introduces their guide, Laura Karstein, from Austrian Secret Police, and then sends everyone but Hellboy out of the room. Manning asks for a debrief on how Roger is doing, as he's apparently new to the team. Hellboy's like, no, he's doing all right. And he's like, okay, cool. He's like, just in case anything happens, there's a failsafe in him. It's a small incendiary bomb next to the generator that's keeping him alive. So just so you know, if the mission goes wrong, here's the kill switch.
Okay.
Yep.
So why does he need a kill switch again?
Well, you'll find out.
Okay.
Yeah, what I will tell you thus far is that Roger is a homunculus. So he survives off of sapping energy, and when they first found him, he briefly killed Liz Sherman and fully killed an agent named Bud Waller. Liz Sherman being the pyrokinetic from the movie, okay. Movies. Bud Waller, no idea. He, another character.
Used to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she was only mostly dead?
Well,
reference.
That's actually what Hellboy points out. He is not pleased that we're putting bombs in agents now. He retorts that Roger saved countless lives battling his brother. Apparently his brother was also evil. And that he brought Liz Sherman back to life at the cost of his own. Like, he used the energy that he took out of Liz, put it back into her, and that's why he needs the generator to live in the first place. He also points out that when Liz was 11, she burned 32 people to death when she discovered her powers.
I mean, who hasn't?
Right? Who amongst us, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, who's going to throw the first stone here? Come
on. Manning retorts with Liz is human and Roger is not, and then gives the kill switch to Hellboy, who looks right at him and says, I'm not human either. When are you going to put a bomb in me? After Hellboy leaves,
I expect you to say, he answered with, what makes you think we haven't? I mean, I have.
Right. Right, right.
With the vibe there.
After Hellboy leaves the room, from midair next to Manning, a card, like a calling card, falls out of nowhere. Manning picks it up and looks at it, and there's a claw symbol with the word fiction ? Written on it.
It's so classy, honestly. Like, this inspired me to do a similar thing for myself.
Yeah, this is honestly how I'm going to be when I'm a ghost.
Yes. Fiction ?
Reminds me of when I met a guy named Eldon, and he was like, your first name is Josh? I thought your first name was The. Laura, who is their guide from the Austrian Secret Service, reveals she grew up in the area and has been inside the castle once when she was younger. That there's a legend of the shapeshifter in the castle called the Rubzal, and they are interrupted by a man who basically shows up and tells them to turn back and that the area is haunted. This is absolutely 100% the scene from Cannibal the Musical, where the guy randomly shows up and goes, you're all doomed! as they keep talking to this guy, it's eventually revealed that he was one of the Nazis that was in the castle. Hellboy loses his mind because Nazis are his racial enemy. Hellboy is a ranger, and cannot stand that Nazis exist.
As we all should. We should all emulate Hellboy in this
movie. Right. Roger drags Hellboy away, and Laura just shoots the man in the chest after he says he knows her.
Okay.
Yeah. And as she's walking away, she's like, I did you a mercy. When she and the BPRD walk away, the man stands back up and wanders away.
Cool. Undead Nazis.
Undead Nazis.
I mean...
As they're walking, yeah. As they're walking, Laura reveals that she's read Hellboy's file, which makes him super suspicious because she's not part of the BPRD, so she shouldn't have access to his file. Laura moves towards the castle to find a way in when Hellboy and Roger are shot at, and Roger falls off a cliff. Hellboy gets to where the gunfire has come from and finds that it's a gun that's firing automatically, so it's just, like, got a pulley thing. Hellboy starts to go into the castle, but the corpse of a U.S. soldier tells him it's a trap. And then my notes here say, he ignores the perfectly reasonable corpse.
Okay. I mean, we already know he talks to the dead, at least from the movies, so I'm not surprised there. But is this corpse, like, moving around, or did he just happen to, see him? And
really skeletonized. It's very obviously just like a corpse that was left there, and it's not like roaming around or like having a cup of coffee or smoking a blunt or anything. It's just like on the ground, kind of half buried in rubble.
Gotcha.
So this all is probably the most ridiculous sentence that I have to read for this comic.
I was going to say, I'm sure you've read plenty of ridiculous sentences in life, so.
This one does not deal with the moon, so at least there's that. Once in the castle, Hellboy is attacked by a robot gorilla, and Laura is revealed to be the Rubenzahl's granddaughter.
Yeah.
Wait, say that again.
Once in the castle, Hellboy is attacked by a robot gorilla. And Laura is revealed to be the Rubenzahl's granddaughter.
So even if you thought you misheard, you didn't.
No, you're right. You're right. That's quite the sentence.
Second issue. Hellboy is, hold on. I don't know if this is the right. Ah, yes. Hellboy is electrocuted in a lab by Hermann von Klebt, who Hellboy faced in 1959 in Brazil. The gorilla is an invention of his called a Kriegaff. The electrical current will keep Hellboy in pain so he can't fight back. So basically just keep shocking him so he can't focus on anything.
Okay.
Hellboy, or Roger, at the bottom of the cliff, like on a rock, like starts to put himself back together and is approached by Lobster Johnson, who has killed the two Nazis who were sent to look for Roger. So Lobster Johnson is real and is now working with Roger. They go to the castle where they find a homunculus lab. The creatures in there are like in tubes, but they start to steal the electricity from Roger. Lobster Johnson fights them all off, while Roger finds the wire from the generator and just basically drinks all the power in it. Upstairs, the electricity dies, so Hellboy is free. He beats the hell out of this gorilla. It's not even a fair fight. He's approached by a man who is not identified, but the man says he was sent to kill Hellboy when he was a child, but he saw that Hellboy had free will and wouldn't necessarily cause the end of the world, so he changed his mind. This man then gives a huge ass exposition dump. that there are great old ones in space, and the rocket that they had sent up was a vessel to host one of them, and now that vessel is returning with a great old one in the body of the guy they sent up there. He gives Hellboy a good plan.
Always a good plan.
Yes.
Inviting the old ones down. Yes. Always a good plan.
Always goes well.
Who amongst us?
Let he who does not have a dark robe in their closet throw the first stone. The man gives Hellboy a MacGuffin that can defeat the thing coming to Earth. And I literally put it that way because it's not really like it's just weird.
Yeah.
The guy's like, oh yeah, the old ones are coming, and here's a thing.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's like a box. It looks like a credit card.
Yeah, it does. And it's not like drawn with any more detail than that. Like card stripe. That's exactly what it looks like.
Like you know how sometimes in the mail you get like those things that you're like, you're pre-approved and it's got like a fake Visa in it. It looks like the back of one of those.
And then the dude just dies and leaves behind the corpse of an alien.
Yeah.
It is at that moment that Roger walks up behind Hellboy and they're reunited, and Hellboy's just like, look, Roger, it's a dead alien. Like, totally deadpan.
Like, this is a normal thing to encounter in an abandoned Nazi ghost stronghold.
Right?
Go, what else? Lobster Johnson? Right. I mean, deadpan that right back.
Funny thing about Lobster Johnson, he's with Roger when they walk up to Hellboy, and then as soon as Roger's like, oh yeah, you're gonna love meeting Lobster Johnson, he's gone.
He's like Snuffleupagus.
He's like Snuffleupagus!
Deep cut.
Thank you.
Until the next graphic novel when they have to change that story because they don't want to encourage kids to keep secrets from adults, which is literally the reason they changed Snuffleupagus.
Yep.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the rocket has landed. There's a bunch of random Nazis in this castle now. Herman, the man who was torturing Hellboy, who I did not mention, has a swastika on his forehead.
Yeah, so like, okay, picture Dr. Manhattan, except with a swastika instead of the like circle thing. It's like that.
I mean, it's a choice.
He's going to be one of those edgelords that's like, actually, it's an ancient Tibetan symbol.
Thanks, clown.
Dr. Oeming is the person that was in the rocket. So Dr. Oeming, this Nazi scientist, is the old one. Hellboy catches Roger up and basically says, this is what's happened so far. There's giant gorilla, just so you know. And is like, and the alien gave me this. I have no idea what it is, and I have no idea how to use it. He died before he could tell me anything useful.
It's American Express black card. You know, you just
put it away. The capsule breaks open and fills the castle with a green smoke that kills all the Nazi goons, but doesn't kill Laura or Herman. Hellboy attacks them. When Lobster Johnson does show up, Hellboy can see him and tells them to attack the capsule, that the capsule needs to be exploded. The Nazi goons are not necessarily dead. They're just transformed into, like, lizard people. And they're all chanting Amon-Ra, which is never great in a Hellboy comic.
No.
For those of you who are not familiar, Amun-Ra is Hellboy's kind of destroy the universe name. So, yeah.
Yeah.
When people show up chanting that name, they're not there for Hellboy. They want him to destroy the world.
Yeah.
Herman gets in Hellboy's way, so Hellboy punches him in the face and knocks his head off to reveal that Herman is a head in a jar. Who starts floating around and shooting lasers at Hellboy.
Just thinking of Futurama.
Yep. Hellboy's knocked down a hole and falls into the lower levels of the castle. Herman finds Laura, who she explains that the gas, or Herman explains to Laura that the gas evolved the goons into the last stage of man so they could be eaten by the conqueror worm that is now free of the capsule. He gave Laura a gas mask so the effects would lessen. She still mutated, but kept her intellect. Thanks, Grandpa. Another exposition dump, and we find out that Herman, years and years ago, was contacted by the Old Ones and told about the capsule. The body of Dr. Oeming had been sent as a tribute to the Old Ones, who filled the corpse with a conqueror worm that will devour everything on Earth, cleansing it. And then the Old Ones can return.
It's a plan. Not saying it's a good plan, but I guess it's a plan.
Right?
Exactly.
Hellboy and Roger come to. Hellboy pulls out the alien credit card, and, like, it starts glowing and working against the worm somehow. So apparently you just have to be in proximity. Herman's robot body comes up behind Hellboy, grabs the credit card, and crushes it. So, you know, that poor alien died for nothing. Laura is talking to a random ghost for reasons that has shown up. And the ghost tells her that every time the world ends, it's just the beginning of a new human evolution, and this won't be any different. Nothing Hellboy or Roger throw at the worm puts a dent in it. And once it reaches the village down the mountain, it will be unstoppable, because it will just eat everything there and keep growing. Herman shows up to gloat, like his floating head shows up to gloat, and the worm like goes to eat him. And he shocks it, like, basically cattle prods it, and floats away. Hellboy notices this and asks Roger if he can zap the worm. Roger says, even better, he can empty his reserves and then suck the ghost of the worm into him.
That might not be a great plan, but we'll see.
Yeah, Hellboy tries to talk him out of it, and Roger points out it's okay because he's not human. Which is a weird line that kind of comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I hate to keep bringing this up, Leigh, because I know how much you hate it, but it really reminded me of the line in Age of Ultron, the I'm a monster because I can't have babies.
Yes, I hate it. You're correct. I hate it.
Roger enacts the plan, electrocutes the crap out of the ghost until the ghost kind of, or out of the worm until the worm dies, and then sucks in the ghost of the worm, but then the ghost of the worm starts to take Roger over. Roger looks to Hellboy and says he knows about the kill switch, and he knows Hellboy has it, and he tells Hellboy to destroy him. Hellboy refuses, because he's not going to kill another agent. And Herman the Head shows up to gloat, so Roger grabs the head and just jumps off the side of the castle. Meanwhile, inside, Laura is killed by Lobster Johnson because he's like Nazi. Blam. He and Hellboy climb down the mountain to look for Roger. They find him, and Hellboy opens his chest to see that the worm is still trying to take Roger over. he sticks a lightning rod in the chest, and a bolt of lightning comes down, destroying the worm.
Which is like normal.
Yes, because, you know, lightning rods create the lightning.
That is 100% how lightning rods work.
Right. Like water rods, too. Water rods will just drag you across, the stick will drag you across the lawn to where water is.
Doesn't matter how far away it is, it'll right. Just magically take you there.
The BPRD shows up, there's a lot of, like, excitement. Hellboy asks Manning to hold out his hand, and when Manning does, he gives him the kill switch and said, I quit. And says, I quit. He then leaves for Africa, which is apparently where the next Hellboy comic is going to happen. The ghost who spoke to Laura is revealed to be Rasputin.
Of course.
Yeah. He is having a conversation with the Gorgon-eyed Hecate. The Gorgon-eyed Hecate. She talks about all the times he's failed, and then takes the last of his soul and puts it in an acorn that she wears as a necklace. And that is the end of Hellboy Conqueror Worm.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
I mean, it's pretty standard for a Hellboy comic, from what I understand.
I mean, it sounds, you know, like I've seen in the movies, and kind of crazy, and, you know, lots of killing of Nazis there, so, you know.
I mean, yeah, it's a great way to...
about that.
Yeah, great way to spend a Sunday, really.
But I do need to ask.
Uh-huh.
Is there more Lobster Johnson? Because he sounds pretty interesting in this.
You know, that I don't know. I would have to... I mean, if Jen has an action figure of him, I imagine he has to have more than just this one brief interlude in the Hellboy comics, but yeah, I'm not sure.
Let's
Google that.
Find out. Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. He first appeared in Hellboy Box of Evil, number one.
There is a Lobster Johnson omnibus.
There sure is.
Okay, cool.
Yep. There it is. He has
Jen this year.
He has his own like huge comic.
Cool. I mean, it's interesting as it sounds like they made him in this. I would hope they did something more with him rather than just as a one-off. So
yeah. There are 6 trade paperbacks of Lobster Johnson, and this is one of 2 times that he shows up in Hellboy. He shows up a little bit more in BPRD, but no, he's mostly his own thing.
Cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I did not know that.
So how did we do explaining Hellboy?
I like it. I mean, I definitely like it. It's something I would probably read. I know the Hellboy art style, like you brought up earlier, is something that I've always found interesting. You know, I've perused it a little bit here and there in comic shops and things, or seen it online, but just never really read much of it other than I think I got one of the comics on a free comic day one time a few years
probably ago. Yeah.
And but yeah, I mean, it's a very distinctive art style and everything, which I like. And you know, obviously this was nowhere near as painful as some of the others we've done. So
100% agreed.
Yeah, I said I was trying to be nice to you this time. It turns out I was right.
It's true. You were being actually very nice. Comparatively.
But at the same time, I mean, the ones I pick are ones I'm kind of interested in what they're about, what goes on, and your guys' thoughts too, because you know, I go into this not being a big comic reader. And so, you know, I've seen a lot. I've seen movies. I've seen TV shows, all of that stuff. But it's still interesting catching the stuff that goes on there, because it can be different in how they do the story. But sounds like this was a good one and something I would definitely read.
This was the first Hellboy comic that I've ever read. You know, I've seen the movies, but I've never actually read the comics before, and I was pleasantly surprised by how much I enjoyed reading this. It was not a slog. It moved pretty quick, and you know, the underlying we're going to invade this old Nazi base and kill more Nazis that's a plot line that I can get behind. So
right,
no complaints here.
Yeah, so I have read Hellboy Seed of Destruction. We did it for our Hellboy episode of Graphically Novel. And if this and Seed of Destruction are any indication, that's just kind of how the comic is. So I may end up picking up more Hellboy because it's a really fun, easy read with lots of Nazi killing.
Yeah, just cathartic.
Yeah.
It hits the important points.
Yes.
I do find it interesting that we made the connection between Hellboy and Captain America, though, because looking at it, the stories are very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hellboy definitely has more of a supernatural bent to it, for sure. But yeah.
Right.
The idea is the same.
Well, Kyle, thank you so much for joining us. This was a lot of fun. It was a good, like, kind of little palate cleanser of an episode. Please everyone tune in next time when we will be doing the second part of Human Target, where Leia will be taking my wonderful wife Jennifer Howland through the rest of Human Target, which we started this season and decided, oh, there's only one more, and Jen really wanted to finish it out. So
the thrilling conclusion, yeah, because it ends on a cliffhanger, which is too good to ignore.
Right. So until then, take it away, Vandello.
Direct conversation, some deep reactions, please. All this comics narration ain't late to me. A little more talk, a lot less read. A little fight, baby, is what I need. Close the trade, open up your brains. Explain it to me. Explain it to me, baby. Explain it to me. Explain it to me, baby. Explain it to me. Vendelo 2021.